Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. I think I said NLT, but rings a little more true in your ears as I read it out of the New King James here this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this gift of a child that came to us, and what the baby Jesus and the man Jesus, the Son of God Jesus, what he brought with an abundance of gifts. Eternal, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, peace, joy, faith, love, all these things he ushered in. So we thank you for these things, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, as we dive into your word, open our hearts, open our minds, let us understand the peace of God a little bit more clearly today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom. Oh, we got one Hebrew person in here. Shalom in Jewish, in the Hebrew culture, is a greeting. What's up? How you doing? You know, they say shalom. The proper response, I heard from Dave, there's shalom and a couple of words. I can't remember what he said. But in many cultures, in the Jewish culture, you properly respond by saying shalom, shalom. And shalom means peace. And that's what we're diving in today. I don't know about you, but I could use a little peace right now. Can anybody use a little bit of peace? Just give me a week with nothing. Give me a week where there's no bad news, there's no turmoil. I just give me some peace. And so we want to dive into the peace. The series, we're just going 4 weeks here in the month of December, looking at peace. And today we're looking at peace on earth. And what does that really mean, peace on earth? Next week, we want to look at peace in our hearts. And sometimes we need that because our hearts are all over the place sometimes. Sometimes they're wounded and hurt, and we want the peace that God has. On the 19th, I believe, Pastor Arvid is going to share the message, Peace with God, which that's pretty important. Without the peace with God, I'm not sure where we would be at. And then on the 26th, the day after Christmas, we're going to do things a little bit differently. I always try to gauge, you know, participation of holiday weekends and things like that. I've now learned, you know, be prepared for 4 or 5 people on opening gun hunting season, you know, because that's an important day. But on the 26th, the day after Christmas, we're just going to do one service on that Sunday, and we're actually going to do the early service. Hope you guys are all okay with that because you're the later service. But we're just going to do the 9 o'clock service, partially because some people, and you're welcome to it, you stay home for that weekend. Enjoy your family. Enjoy that Christmas day, that Christmas weekend. You can join us online. But if you decide to come, we'll all gather as one family here. If we need extra seating, we'll expand it in here. Might be a good opportunity to see people from the other services on that Sunday. As well as it'll give you a chance, even like our family, we have a family Christmas later that afternoon. It'll give you a chance if you're going to be traveling on that Sunday to go see your family. So we're going to do things a little bit different on the 26th. Just one service at 9 o'clock. We're going to have a little extended worship, have a few more songs of worship. And during that time of worship, we're also going to have some altar ministry that will give you the opportunity to come forward or will come to you. We want to minister on that day, as well as I'm going to have a shorter message, and that will be peace with one another, which is the final message on this series. And in the epistles over and over again, we are encouraged to have peace with one another. It's a good idea. It's hard to do sometimes, is it not? And so that's what we're looking at in this series and in this month of peace and peace on earth today. So what does peace mean? Okay, so let's dive into this. What does peace mean? Well, if we do a nice little Google, if we do a little dictionary search and figure out what the world says about peace, it's pretty much this. It says freedom from a disturbance. It's the lack of a disturbance. If two countries have a peace treaty, does the peace treaty says, oh, we're going to love each other and be friends forever? No, a peace treaty says, okay, we won't fight. A peace treaty is a lack of war, a lack of a disturbance. The worldly definition, it's a lack of something turbulent. It's the lack of something bad. There's nothing bad in it, right? So to keep peace, you got to keep the bad stuff out. As a side note that we could go down, who decides what's bad and how to take it out? So that's a worldly definition, the lack of something bad. If you don't have anything bad in you, you're at peace, right? But what about the Bible definition? And we want to look at this word shalom, this word peace. Now, we are reading in Luke chapter 2, New Testament. And if you're checking up on me, New Testament is written in Greek. The Greek word there for peace is eirene. But I did a lot of my digging and reading on peace in the Old Testament. A lot of it is in Isaiah, talking to the Prince of Peace and the subject of peace. And so I just want to zero in on this word shalom. And what does the Bible say about shalom, this word peace? The Bible definition of shalom, or peace, is completeness, wholeness, soundness. That's what the Bible says is peace. It doesn't say anything about there's nothing bad in it. It just says it's whole, it's complete. Is there a difference? I think so. Let me give you an example. I've shared on a number of occasions growing up having to deal with headaches pretty much my whole life from third grade on. 3, 4, 5 headaches a week, a couple of migraines a month. I've always had to deal with headaches until for some reason I came to Turtle Lake. Some of you are like, duh. Maybe it's in the water. Maybe there's just something special here. I don't know. I've tried to tweak my diet. I've tried to get a little less sugar. I see an incredible chiropractor. If you need a good chiropractor, I know one for you. Or maybe God just flat out healed me. I don't know. But something happened. I don't deal with headaches. And so recently somebody asked me, so how are your headaches? Because a lot of people know I've struggled with headaches. And I could say one of two things. I could say, well, I haven't had a headache in months, which is true. It's a factual statement. But what am I actually saying? I'm using the world's definition of peace. I have the lack of something bad. Therefore, I'm good. That's one way to say it. The other way I could say it, Pastor Jason, how are your headaches? I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm complete. I think there's a difference in perspective. And the language we use, and what is that perspective? What I think it's your worldview. Are you whole right now? Or are you just lacking something bad in this moment, and you're just waiting for the bad to come? I think there's a difference in the world's definition of peace, the lack of something bad, and the Bible's definition, whole or complete. Let's keep digging. Let's do a little junior high school English class. Some of you are like, yes, and some of you are like, oh, I graduated and got out of there for a reason. Root words. Do you guys remember root words? Let me give you two words. Portable, transportation. Okay, you know what those words are, but what are their root words? What root word do they have in common? Port. And port means to carry. That's the root, that's the basis, okay? And so portable is to make it easy to carry. Transportation is to use some other means, like a vehicle, to carry something. But without the word port, you got able and transhun. You have to have that root word. And you have to have an understanding of what that root word means. If you don't know what port means, the other words make no sense. And so we look at this word shalom, and we want to figure out what the root word is. What's the core of it? And we've already defined shalom, but shalom isn't the root word for peace. It comes from another word for peace in the Bible, and that word is shalom. Well, how about that? We got shalom, and we got shalom. What does shalom mean? Shalom is to be in a covenant of peace, to be at peace, to be complete, to be sound. Okay, makes sense. So shalom comes from a word shalom. But there's something else you need to understand in Hebrew language. You see, Hebrew language, a word, almost always has a picture that goes with it. When they speak a word in Hebrew, in their mind, they can see something. They can see the word, not the letters, but some sort of image that goes with the word, because it helps them understand what the word means by having an image attached to it. Okay? So it's very picturesque. In Greek, it's not that way. In English, we're not very full of image and pictures when we speak words. But in Hebrew, they speak a word, and it's a picture that they get in their mind. So in a second here, we're going to put up a picture. I'm actually going to put up two. One of these shows what the word shalom means. And the other one is the lack of shalom. Okay? So go ahead and put up a picture. One of these is shalom. Complete, wholeness, soundness. The other one does not have shalom. When a Hebrew person, when a Jewish person says shalom, this is what they see in their mind. They just see the picture of a complete wall. Nothing wrong with it. Okay? That's the picture they have in their mind. A wall that is not broken. It's whole, it's complete. If we pause and stop and ponder or Selah on this a little bit, what does a wall represent? If their picture in their mind is a complete wall, and that is peace, they see that picture and they see peace. What does a wall represent? Huh. The definition you're using of peace, it might not mean what you think it means. Inconceivable. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Sorry, any Princess Bride fans out there? Probably not. You're all groaning. What's your definition of peace? I don't think peace means what you think it means. What does it mean? Let's go to the scripture. Let's dive into the word and see if we can, again, get this picture in our mind. Because this word, shalom, it's an image. So that should come out in the scripture. That should come out in the verses of what this is. So we're going to put up a verse in a second. We'll have a little competition here. I want to see if you can find the word peace, more specifically the word shalom, in this scripture. Okay? We're looking for shalom. We're looking for this peace. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 25. Three times each year, Solomon the king presented burnt offerings and peace offerings at the altar he had built for the Lord. He also burned incense to the Lord. So he finished the work of the building of the temple. Do you see shalom? Do you see peace? And a lot of you are like, yeah, right there, peace offerings, right? It's actually not the word shalom. That's the word shalem. Boy, this is awesome. Shalom, shalom, shalem. I feel Hebrew all over right now saying that. So shalem literally means peace offerings. Okay, there, wow, says it right there, peace offerings. But that's not the root word. In the reading there is the word shalom, shalom. Okay? It's the last sentence. And so he finished is the word shalom. I'm getting all mixed up now. Is the word shalom. And so he finished. What did he finish? The walls of the temple. So that word, that descriptive word, that image that they have, he actually did that in a verb. He did it in an action. He completed the building of the temple. Let's stop and ponder and Selah. Let's consider that for a second. What is the temple? There's a couple of walls and a roof that God says, my presence is in here, not out there. You want to be in my presence? You've got to come behind this wall. So he peaced the temple. He shalomed the temple. Pastor, you're making the word peace sound an awful like the word divide, separation. If it's a wall, if it's a building, and that represents peace, but you have to be on that side or this side, it sounds like division. And I say, well, that's a matter of perspective. How do you see it? Current events, last couple of years, a hot topic would be a certain wall that some want to build on the southern border. But we have two sides of this, do we not? Two perspectives. One side says it will bring peace. And another side says, no, it's going to cause division. Which one is it? Yes. It creates peace and it creates division. And that's an important subject. And you will have an opinion on it based upon what side of the wall you're on. Correct? What is peace? Well, let's look at this perspective. Let's dig in. Keep on going to the scripture here as we try to understand this peace on earth that the baby Jesus ushered into earth. What is this peace? Because I want that peace, whatever it is. So let's keep reading. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 13, give you a little context of this. It's the end of the world as we know it. That's really what's happening in Ezekiel's time. Bad guys are going to come in and destroy Jerusalem and take them away. It's the end of the world as we know it. And Ezekiel is talking. Great time to talk about peace. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10. This will happen because the evil prophets deceive my people by saying, all is peaceful. Your version may say, peace, peace. All is peaceful when there is no peace at all. It's as if the people have built a flimsy wall. Subject line, peace. And how is he describing it? A wall. More specifically, a flimsy wall. A broken down wall. A wall that actually isn't shalomed. It's not pieced. They've built a flimsy wall, and these prophets are trying to reinforce it by covering it with whitewash. Do you see the imagery? He's talking about this peaceful wall. There's supposed to be peace. There's no peace. But to reinforce it, they're saying they're showing you this awesome wall, but it's been whitewashed. It's been painted. There's a piece of OSB in front of the hole in the wall, and they've painted a brick wall in front of it. So you go, wow, look at that awesome, peaceful wall. Yeah, we're fine. We're protected. We're good. But they're saying there's peace. There is no peace. It's whitewashed. It's fake. It's not real. Let me give you an example of what a broken down fake wall looks like that's been whitewashed. How you doing today? If I went one by one to you, I said, good morning, how you doing? Some of you will say, good, fine. Oh, everything's great. Is it? Or are you whitewashing things? We have a tendency just to say, peace, peace. Oh, everything's good. We try to paint this broken wall of our lives so that people can think, everything's good with Pastor Jason today. Is it? Is it? I appreciate it in the first service as Pastor Arvid asked for the microphone. And just as he said here, gave us an opportunity just to present to God that things are heavy on our heart. There's something really heavy on my heart right now. I'm good, but it's heavy. And for that second, as he did that, I got to not be Pastor Jason for a second. I got to just be Jason. Got a heavy heart. And I go, God, here you go. Take it. Sure, I'll say, I'm good. But am I? Are you? Or are we whitewashing the peace in our life? The other part of that is the false prophets, the outside influences. Do you have any outside influences that, you know, you're going through something hard, or you got a difficult relationship with someone, and they come up to go, oh, no, you're just fine. You're good. No, they're the one that's messed up, or the steps you've taken are perfect. Nope, that's exactly how you should raise your kids or talk to your mother. Do you have an outside influence that are saying, oh, you're good, you're fine. Peace when there is no peace. Do you know what the true Old Testament prophets would say anytime there was difficulty? Repent. Repent, repent, repent. Repent. You've made a mistake. Go ask for forgiveness. Over and over again. That was the true message. Not this, oh, we're fine. We just love one another. There's room for that love, God's love. But do you have a fake wall in front of you? Repent from your sins. Let's get another one. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Let me give you the context of what's going on. It's the end of the world as you know it. Sounds like a common theme when it comes to these subjects of peace and the description of peace. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, the end of the world, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. But here it is in verse 3. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. Everything is peaceful and secure. Let me ask you that right now. As you look around the world today, could you say everything is peaceful and secure? Anybody? I want to know what world you're living in. Wow. Is everything peaceful and secure? It's a little crazy right now. But there's two ways to look at that. Because someone could say, no, things aren't peaceful and secure right now. And to that, I would say, good. Because if you're aware that things are a little chaotic, then you should be aware, correct? You should have awareness. You should be on your toes looking like, okay, God, I need to see truth. God, I need to see your peace. God, help me see through the lies, the things I'm hearing, things I'm seeing. I think if we look around and we see kind of a little bit of chaos, if we are on our toes and we're aware, I think that's good because we need to be that way. We can't be lulled to sleep that, oh, it's fine. So there's one good side to that of looking at, go, we're not at peace. But if you're aware of everything going on, does that mean you're not at peace? Stay with me. If you're always on alert, does that mean you're always stressed? No, I think you can be at peace. I think you can trust in God. But we have to stay on our toes and not be deceived. But the other way we can look at that is everything peaceful right now? If someone came to me and says, you know what, Pastor? Yeah, I'm at peace. I would have to ask, why are you at peace? And the right response is, because I'm behind the wall of peace that God has put in my life. Huh. I want to be there. So what's your perspective of peace? What's your definition of peace? How do you see things? Do you see it through your eyes, the world's eyes, or do you see peace, shalom, as God sees it? Peace on earth. What is this peace that baby Jesus brought to the earth and the angels declared? What is this peace? The answer to that, you're not going to like. Just giving you a warning as we read. We started in chapter 2 of Luke about Jesus, the baby, bringing this peace. And as a side note, which we'll hit probably in a later week, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Some versions actually say good to those in whom find favor in God's eyes. God gives good, he gives peace to those that are in this group and not that group. Wow, that doesn't sound very fair. Well, we started in chapter 2. Jesus is a baby. He doesn't have any dialogue. He doesn't have any parts in the script, in the story. But he grows up into a man. He's tempted. And he starts his ministry. And now he's speaking clearly of what he's doing. And he talks about this peace that he is ushering in very clearly. But like I said, you're not going to like it. In chapter 12 of the same book, we were in Luke chapter 2. Now we go to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 9. I have come to set the world on fire. This is Jesus talking. And I wish it were already burning. Sounds like lyrics to a rock song, right? Jesus said that. I've come to set the world on fire and I wish it were burning. These are from his lips. What's he talking about? Again, words, description, fire and burning is judgment. Jesus says, I'm on the scene. Now there will be judgment because I am the standard that has been lifted high. Everything will be measured off of me. I've come to set the world on fire. And honestly, I wish it was going on right now. But it's not going on right now because there's still a little bit more work needs to be done. And that's the next verse, verse 50. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under heavy burden until it's accomplished. He's talking about the cross. He's got this difficult, hard work that's coming up. And he's got to do it. He has to accomplish it in order for the judgment. And what is judgment? It's a division. In order for that to take place. Verse 51. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? And the class around them, they all timidly raise their hand and go, yes, right? Isn't that what you think? Isn't that what you have in your mind? Jesus came to bring peace on earth. I mean, we sing it in our Christmas songs. We just read it in chapter 2. Didn't he come to bring peace? Yes. I'm confused. And what does he say? No. I have come to divide people against each other. How's your definition of peace going right now? If you scribbled it out and crumpled it up, thrown it out like, okay, bastard. What? Why did Jesus come? 52. It doesn't get any easier. From now on, families will be split apart. 3 in favor of me, 2 against. 2 in favor and 3 against. Father will be divided against his son and son against his father. Mother divided against the daughter, daughter against the mother. And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Boy, this is a rosy picture of peace, is it not? Jesus came to divide in order to bring peace. Jesus came to build a wall of separation. And the question is, what side are you on? Some of you, this description in 52 and 53 of the family separation and division. Some of you have experienced this, have you not? You know all about the family division based upon Jesus Christ. That day in youth group, Bible camp, at some church service, kneeling next to your bed. That day you accepted Christ into your life and you felt it. Everything changed. And then you went and told mom and dad. Some of you, mom and dad, weren't very happy. Some of you came back from that youth retreat and said what happened, and they said, oh, you can't go back there now. You know all about this division that Jesus creates. Some of you know all about the division that a church you've attended, or maybe even a church you are attending, creates division within your family. Oh, you go there? Okay, we're not doing Christmas together. Some of you know very clearly what this division is that Jesus is speaking of, and it's ugly. You've been rejected by your family. Moms, dads, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, children. You have seen this division. And a worldly definition says, Jesus, stop it. Don't do it that way. Find a better way that we can all just get along and have peace. Without Jesus, there wouldn't be this division. We'd go back to, as described in was that Genesis 5 with Noah, that people did whatever they wanted to do. They probably loved it. But was there really peace then? Or were they just living in a fairy tale? A lie. Without Jesus, yeah, there wouldn't be any division. But without Jesus, there would be no place of peace. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the chief cornerstone. What is that picture? What does that mean? God says, I got this stone, and I'm putting it right here, and then I'm going to build upon that cornerstone with some more bricks, called my apostles, called my early church leaders, and the early church, and the Gentiles. I'm going to build my wall of separation, starting with Jesus Christ. And I want you to be on this side and not that side. And God even describes his son Jesus as the gate. How do I get to that place of peace that God wants to create? You go through Jesus Christ. Well, can I go over the wall? Can't you airdrop me in there? Can I go around the other way? Isn't there another way? No. There is only one way. Well, that's not fair. That's not a loving God. And here we create that separation. I say it's completely fair because it's so clear. You got to go through Jesus Christ, through that gate, to get into this side of the wall God has created, starting with his son, Jesus Christ, who came here on earth to create peace, yes, but by dividing. Do you want peace on earth? Well, as difficult as it is to say, then pick a side. It's either this side of Christ or that side of Christ. There is a separation. And Jesus isn't right in the middle of it. You must pick a side. And when you do, then it gets ugly. And we'll probably talk about it next week in Peace in My Heart, because there's things my heart wants to do. I want this. And Jesus says, no. I want that. Stop it. And it gets ugly. There's things I want. But what happens if you have a divided heart? I'm going to start preaching next week's message. We can't be wrongly divided. We must be on the side of Christ. And whatever he leads me to do, I want to follow that. And it's getting to get ugly in my life because there's things that need to die and pass away. And it's going to get ugly in my relationships with other people that disagree. Oh, you're so much better than I am. No. It's not a comparison of you and I. It's a comparison of myself and Christ, who is the standard, who is the division. But if I'm on the side of Christ, I get to experience this eternal peace, this glorious peace that God has for me and for you. Let's pray. God, you know I've been chewing on this message all week, and even as I've shared it twice, I don't think it's fully settled in my spirit. Lord, it is difficult to comprehend that Jesus came to bring, in essence, a division, a separation. And he called it peace. Lord, that's hard to comprehend. But Lord, I see it in your word pretty clearly. And so, Lord, I want to be on your side. I want to come through the gate of Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of this wall built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to be whole and complete as you want this whole world to be whole and complete. Lord, you don't want anyone to be on the outside. And Lord, if I truly believe that, oh, I would be working so hard to share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. So Lord, make it real to me. Because someday the burning will come, the fire will come, the judgment will come, and the worthless will be burned away like chaff. But that which remains that is of value, which is Jesus, will remain. Lord, put a burden on my heart. One, to be fully devoted to you, picking a side and following after you. But two, Lord, put a burden in my heart to share this message with everyone that would hear. Lord, even my brothers and sisters and my moms and my dads, Lord, my cousins, the children, Lord, whoever I have, whoever we have, Lord, even if they don't want to hear this message because it's causing division, Lord, give us the burden to pray for them and show them how to have peace with God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for these images, Lord. Give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.